All right. Praise the Lord. Let's grab our hymnals at this time. We'll stand for our final hymn this morning prior to the message. And open up to hymn 62. Hymn 62. I love the words Sir Isaac Watts wrote to this hymn so long ago at the cross. Amen. That's where we received our sight, at the cross of Jesus. No greater place to be than at the cross. And we're going to sing the first, the second, and the fourth of hymn 62. Please be seated, church. Great singing this morning. At this time, let's grab our Bibles. And I do have one announcement to give. And that would be, everything's normal this week, this Wednesday, we're here. But the following Wednesday, that'd be the 19th of August. There'll be no service on the 19th. Wife and I will be on vacation that week. But no Sundays will be affected. Just that Wednesday service on the 19th. There is a possibility, though, We get our retired pastor here to preach for us on that Wednesday night.
Well, praise the Lord. At any rate, let's grab our Bibles at this time and open up to the Gospel of John for this morning's message. What a blessing it is to have come to the cross and to have the burden of sin rolled away by Jesus Christ. Amen? I mean, I tell you, there's nothing like knowing the Lord. I don't know how this world gets by without Jesus Christ. I really don't. I mean, you just turn on the news and it's all bad news. But I've got good news. It's right here. Amen. Good news that Jesus saves. Amen. Oh boy, that's the world that this world needs, that kind of news. Well, as you're turning to John chapter 4 this morning, my favorite gospel, John chapter 4, let me give you this. A preacher once said, "Hickory dickory dock, the mice ran up the clock. The clock struck one, all others escaped safely." All others escaped safely. Well, I want to talk to you this morning about a certain nobleman in John chapter 4. And I'd ask you to stand for the reading of God's holy word this morning in John chapter 4. We're going to begin reading in verse 46. And this certain nobleman that I want to speak about is not named. His name is not important, because what's important is that he found the Lord Jesus Christ here in John chapter 4. Look with me at verse 46, church. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, "Except ye see signs and wonders, you will not believe." The nobleman saith unto him, "Sir, come down ere my child die." Jesus saith unto him, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him, and told him, saying, "Thy son liveth." Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, "Yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him." So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, "Thy son liveth," and himself believed, and his whole house. This again is the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Beloved, I want to speak to you briefly this morning on a certain nobleman. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for the Lord Jesus Christ, the great physician. Lord, how we thank you that he went about doing good and healing those that were even possessed of the devil. And we thank you, Lord, that he's doing the same miracles today. We thank you, Lord, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that we can trust him by faith for our immortal souls. Lord, we thank you for this certain nobleman. We thank you that he came to the right place, the Son of God, on the behalf of one who was near death. And Lord, we thank you that you didn't turn a deaf ear, but you heard his request and you answered him and you showed your glory by raising the boy up from that sick bed. And Lord, I'm so thankful that today, 2,000 years later, you're still raising the dead. You're still giving life to those who need it, oh God. We thank you for the great salvation you've provided. Lord, our hearts are burdened this morning as we see this country going down on a downward spiral, oh God. Our hearts are burdened for the lost of America. We pray for revival. We pray that they would come to know the great physician as this certain nobleman did so long ago. Before it's too late, we pray, Lord, that you would make a sweeping revival across this great nation and make her great again with the shining of the light of the gospel. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Please be seated, church. Beloved, indeed, some of God's brightest blessings come to us clothed in the dark weeds of mourning. If this certain nobleman, if his heart had not been moved through his own son's sickness, he never would have known the healing power of Jesus Christ through faith. Yea, blessed is that sorrow, that constrains us to come believingly to the Son of God. I want us to focus in this morning on this man, this certain nobleman, and observe a few things. First, notice his desperate circumstance. Look with me in verse 46. I see a very desperate circumstance. In verse 46, so Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. Now, this fella was in desperate circumstances, because his only son was about to die. He was sick. You could have given him the best medicines, the best hospitals and doctors in the world. They couldn't help him. There was only one that could help him, and that was Jesus Christ. Amen? We read further on in verse 47 that the boy was at the point of death. I mean, he was bad off, man. He was taking his final gasp. He was ready to be buried, you know? And he comes to Jesus and he says, Lord, I need a healing for my son. I know that you are able to do it. Now think with me, folks. Capernaum is 28 miles from Cana, where Jesus is. The boy is back there in Capernaum. But time and space mean nothing to Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm so glad that I don't have to see him bodily and physically. I see him spiritually. And that's enough for me. Amen. His son, perhaps his only son, is sick. He's at the point of death. He's desperate. He's facing a circumstance that is out of his control. You been there? Oh, I've been there. My wife and I, we've had four wonderful children. They've all flown the coop now, except one came back. But our oldest daughter, Zena, when she was a little girl, she'd have terrible seizures. And she'd stop breathing just about. I mean, you couldn't even detect her breath. And this one time, she was 5 years old, Zena, our oldest. And I tell you, you want to talk about a desperate circumstance, a desperate situation? She went into one of her seizures, a bad one. She stopped breathing. We called 911. But before we called 911, we called on the master of the universe. Amen? And as the ambulance was on its way, we're praying over Zena. Oh, Lord Jesus, please, 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 see, Lord Jesus, make her breathe, make her breathe. Desperate prayer. Amen? Listen to me. God will put you into that kind of a circumstance where the only one that can help you is Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. He'll do it on purpose because he wants us to look up to him and not to the arm of flesh. Amen. You know, Zena came out that just fine. And when the paramedics got there, I said, is she breathing? And he said, calm down, Dad. She's breathing very softly. She is breathing. I said, oh, thank you, Lord. And she was fine. She went on to live a very happy and productive life, and she's given us four grandkids. But praise the Lord that it was a desperate circumstance, and we went to the right source, Jesus Christ. Now, beloved, God has his ways of getting man to look up. And God is going to bring you into a state of affairs that you have no way out of apart from divine intervention. Do you know that Jesus Christ specializes in delivering the desperate? This man was facing a desperate circumstance, and Jesus Christ loves to come along and get us out of those, doesn't he? Why? Because it shows his glory. It shows his power. It shows his ability to handle my situation, no matter how bad it looks. Go to John chapter 12. Hold your place in chapter 4. We're coming right back. In John chapter 12, look with me at verse 32. Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw some men unto me. Is that what it says? No. All men unto me. Jesus said, look it, I am going to give every human being an opportunity during their lifetime to receive me. He said all. You know what that means in the Greek? It means all. It means all. And you know what he'll do to draw you to him? He'll put you into desperate circumstances. The Lord Jesus Christ knows how to get our attention. It might be through our kids. It might be through financial hardship. It might be through marital problems. It might be a death in the family. Whatever it might be, Jesus knows how to get our attention. And Jesus knows by his Holy Spirit how to draw us to his bleeding side. I'm so glad that on October 3rd in 1986, Bob Oliver found the Lord Jesus Christ. Why?
because he drew me to him through my circumstances. Amen? Through my circumstances, I became desperate. And I found the answer that I had been looking for 28 years of my life, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? He knows how to draw man. And look with me here. In chapter 4, he's drawing this certain nobleman to himself. You see what's happening here? He's using his son's situation to draw the nobleman to himself. He wasn't saved yet, but he's about to be because Jesus is drawing him. Now, in Isaiah 45, verse 22, don't turn there, a prophecy of the Messiah is given. And he says this prophetically, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." Jesus Christ is God, manifest in the flesh. And he says, "Look unto me and be saved." You can't look unto Buddha and be saved. You can't look unto Muhammad or Allah and be saved. You need Jesus Christ. Amen? Jesus Christ is the one and only Savior for mankind. In 1 Timothy 2:3, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior," that's who Jesus is, "who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." He wants them all to come. They won't, but he wants them to. I'm so glad he's not prejudiced. I'm so glad he's not fussy in who comes to his cross. I'm so glad his arms are open to the whole wide world. And he says, "Come unto me. I'll give you rest. I'll give you eternal life. I'll give you a home in heaven if you only come to me." Listen now. If he has to, he will put men into desperate circumstances in order to get them to look to him. Oswald Sanders tells us that when the great King George was visiting a pottery plant many years ago, he noticed two special vases side by side. Both had been made of the same material. Both had been painted in the same style and manner. But one was a beautiful masterpiece, while the other was blurred and quite ugly. When the king inquired why there was such a contrast between the two vases, the guide informed him, "Because one of the vases was put into the fire and the other was not." When that vase came through the furnace, it came out shining like gold. You know what? The Lord has to put us through the fire to refine us and to burn off the dross of sin. Amen? And he knows how to do it. Sometimes the Lord has to do this, and he's perfect at it. The first thing I see this morning is that this certain nobleman was put into desperate circumstances. But I see something else this morning. Secondly, notice his earnest request. Look with me back in chapter 4. Look at verse 47. When he heard, the nobleman heard, that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him. Time out, church. Did you see that? He went unto Jesus. See, people want to run away from Jesus, but you've got to go to Jesus if you want help, right? He went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son. Look with me at verse 49. And verse 49, "The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die." He says, "Jesus, I'm desperate. My son, my only son is going to die. I need you to come down and heal him." In verse 47, he says, "He's at the point of death, Lord." Oh, beloved, listen carefully. He's saying, "Lord, please, 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 come heal my son." All of a sudden, he feels like praying. All of a sudden, he's getting religious. You notice how people get real religious when they have a need? The guy gets hit by a truck and he's alive. They take him to the hospital and he's in a coma. And he comes out and he says, "Lord, if you let me live, I'll serve you the rest of my life." The Lord heals him and the guy never shows up in church again. I mean, he didn't mean it. He didn't mean it. This guy means it though. Listen, go to Matthew chapter 17. In Matthew chapter 17, what a powerful passage to see. His earnest request. I'm so glad that he came to Jesus Christ with it. In Matthew 17, look at verse 14. "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him," Jesus, "a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft times into the water." He's demon possessed. Night 16.
And I brought him to thy disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Jesus says, bring the boy to me and everything will be just fine. You know what we need to do, folks? We need to bring that burden to the Lord and it'll be just fine. We need to bring that trial, that temptation, that problem that we have to the Lord. And he says, bring him to me and everything will be okay. And don't you know that Jesus, verse 18, Jesus rebuked the devil and he departed out of him and the child was cured from that very hour. Why? They brought him to Jesus. They had an earnest request. My son is demon possessed, Jesus. Help him. And he did. He did. Listen, when you call on Jesus Christ, he'll always help you. Jesus Christ never turns a deaf ear to his children. His arms are always open. His arm of omnipotent power for your behalf. I'm so glad of that. It's too bad, though, that most of the time, it takes a crisis for people to turn to Jesus Christ. Some horrible tragedy, and then they come to the Lord. A few years ago, there was a ship in great distress off the Canadian coast. With its fresh water supply completely exhausted, the captain sent out an SOS for fresh water. The Morse code reply came back immediately, let down your buckets. Unknowingly, they had sailed into the fresh waters of the St. Lawrence River. The SOS came back, let down your buckets and drink. It's all fresh water, man. You know? And that's how it is. We send out an SOS, help, help. And the Lord says, just look to me and drink of that living water. Amen? I'm so glad. He found himself in desperate circumstances, but he made an earnest request. Thirdly, notice the gentle rebuke that Jesus gives him. Verse 48. Notice the gentle rebuke. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Now, beloved, listen carefully. Jesus, in this reply, is saying to the nobleman, are you not prepared to believe me if you don't get what you want? See, some people just want something from Jesus. They don't want Jesus. They just want the favor. They just want the miracle. He's saying, you're prepared to believe I am the Messiah if I come down and heal your son. He says, you will not believe except you see. We got a lot of people like that in the world today, you know? In this gentle rebuke, Jesus is trying to tell him that there is a more noble faith than that. He says, believe and thou shalt see.
Amen.
Not see and believe, believe and then you'll see. Listen, folks, we're living in a day of sensationalism. We're living in a day when people want some thrill, some miracle, some divine manifestation. They want to see Benny Hinn knock somebody over. I mean, come on, man. Whatever happened to faith? Whatever happened to taking God at his word? Amen. And believing it and acting upon it?
Amen.
See, this book here that I hold in my hand, this is no ordinary book. Because this is alive. This is the word of God. And when God says something in here, you've got to believe it enough to act upon it.
Amen.
It's not just empty words. It calls for action in John chapter 20. Go to chapter 20 for a moment. Watch what Jesus Christ says about believing. In John chapter 20. Look with me at verse 29. 29. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. Hey, beloved, I'm here to tell you something this morning. You're blessed.
Amen.
You're blessed. You know why? You believe in Jesus Christ, though you've never seen him physically. You believe in Jesus Christ, though you've never met him personally. Yay! 1 Peter chapter 1, down around verse 6 says, whom having not seen, you love. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Why? Because you believe. Because you believe. Jesus says, you're blessed because you believe without seeing me. This nobleman, Jesus is gently rebuking him, saying in verse 48, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. He's saying, will you believe me though you don't see it? That's what he's testing his faith. Now, listen carefully. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do you believe that this morning? I'm so glad you do believe that this morning. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Glory to God. Blaise Pascal said, faith is to believe what we do not see. And the reward of this faith is to see what we believe. Abraham Lincoln, my favorite president, as you know, said, faith in God is indispensable to successful statesmanship. Boy, could the White House use that statement today. The old country church was holding a special meeting to pray for rain in order to break a long dry spell. They had a drought. The preacher looked closely at the whole congregation quite intently. Then he said, brothers and sisters, you all know why we're here today to pray for rain. But what I want to know from you is, where are your umbrellas? Where are your umbrellas? Where's your faith? Except ye see, you won't believe. Now listen, Jesus is saying to this nobleman, where is your faith? Fourthly, observe the definite promise from Jesus. Look at verse 49. The definite promise from Jesus. 49. The nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. Beloved, you know what he just received? A definite promise from Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ always keeps his promises, I'm so glad. He's never broken one. You serve a king that has never gone back on his word. Amen? You can trust anything he says. He said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. I like that. He said, they hear my voice, and they follow me. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again to receive you where I am. I go to build a mansion for you in my Father's house. Glory to God. Now, here, the nobleman receives a definite promise from the king. When the nobleman had said, signs or no signs, I know that you can heal my son, Jesus, then the Lord offered to his faith a definite promise. See, you've got to believe before you'll see. Yeah, amen? That makes sense, right? It's not rocket science. In giving him this word of promise, Jesus was imparting life, not only to the son, but to the nobleman. Listen, go to Luke chapter 21. In Luke chapter 21, hold your place in John. In Luke 21, look with me at verse 32. Don't miss this. Verse 32. Words in red, that's Jesus Christ, amen? Verily, what's that word mean?
Truly,
I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. You know what he's saying? He's saying to his disciples, what I say to you will never fail. Never in all of eternity future, what I say will be true still. Why? Because he always keeps his promises. He gave this man a definite promise. Jesus says, my words, my promises will never fail. They're more sure than the ground you're standing on. They are. You know the ground you're sitting on? One day will be gone. But his word still be here. His word will still stand. I'm so glad. From Christian Victory magazine. Recently, Holiday Inns, had planned to erect a massive hotel resort atop the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. They sent a survey group of engineers to Jerusalem to prepare for the erection. But after some serious investigation, they canceled all plans, stating that it could never be done. They discovered that there is a geological fault line under the Mount of Olives, which is slowly causing it to split. Sound familiar? Beloved, it's not the fault line that will split the Mount of Olives down the middle. It's Jesus Christ. Because when he stands on top of that mount, boom, she's going to split right down the middle and cause a valley for the Jews to flee in. Amen? That's what the Bible says. They just confirmed the Bible right there. We can't do it. It's the mountain splitting in half. Wow. He received a definite promise from Jesus Christ, but notice his believing act. Look at his believing act. Verse 50. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man what?
believed
the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. I love it. His believing act, he said, thank you, Lord. And he went to pick up his son. Amen? Why? Because he believed the word that Jesus spoke. You know what you have to do? You have to believe the word that Jesus speaks. And when we believe the words that Jesus speaks, our lives will reflect that, because we'll be acting on those marching orders. Glory to God, people, watch this. Because he is now prepared to believe Jesus Christ without seeing his son healed, he is totally satisfied with this word of promise from Jesus. He believes it to be so, because Jesus said it. He hasn't seen his son yet, but he believes it in his heart. Suddenly, he goes on his way. He doesn't ask for anything else from Jesus. Listen carefully. Saving faith is a faith that acts with confidence. For faith is the evidence of things not seen, the substance of things hoped for. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Listen, such vital importance does the Lord Jesus associate with his words that a man is either saved or doomed according to how he responds towards them. Did you hear what I said? I said Jesus Christ put so much stock in his words that a man's immortal soul and where it will spend eternity depends upon how he or she responds to them.
Amen.
Jesus said, I judge no man. The words that I've spoken unto you in the last day shall judge you. The words. They hate this book. They want to destroy this book. They want to burn all the copies. Well, I'll tell you what. We got it in here. Amen. You can't destroy the Word of God. The Word of God is indestructible. Glory to God. It's eternal. It's forever. Because it is not of this world. It's from heaven. Listen, to believe what the Son of God speaks in the Bible is to set to our seal that God is true. But to disbelieve his testimony is to make God a liar. And this is the condemnation upon mankind. They don't believe this book. And that is why they're condemned to an eternal separation from their Maker. If they won't repent and believe what God says, they can't be saved. That's a scary thought, but it's true. Look at verse 39. John chapter 4. Look at 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city, what? Believed on him. For the saying of the woman, Samaritan woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. Look at verse 41. And many more believed because of his own word. You see that verse 41? Many more believed because of his own word. Amen. They believed the word that Jesus spoke. Verse 50. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken. This is good stuff, man. His believing act, he went his way believing. And don't you know he had a skip, a hop and a skip in his walk going to see his son? He knew that his son was just fine. Jesus promised him, and Jesus can't lie. We're talking about a God that cannot lie. Wow! Listen carefully now. You've got to believe the word of Christ, and you've got to act upon what he says. I remember when I was 4 years old. I was 4 years old, little boy, and we had five kids in the family, and my dad would take us, pack up the car for vacation each year. We'd always go to Plum Island. How many of you have been to Plum Island? Love surf casting on Plum Island. And we'd meet my brothers and my dad, we'd stay up all night. The girls would go to sleep, and we'd stay up all night surf casting, catching stripers, man, and catching cod, and catching flounder. Oh, we'd be there all night. What a ball we'd have. But to get to the, when we would go for the stripers, Dave probably knows this, you've got to go across these little jetties, this little streams of water, about maybe 3 feet wide, 2.5 feet wide, not very much, but for a four-year-old, they seem like a Gulf of Mexico, right?
Yeah.
So we're going out and we're heading to the inland where you catch the stripers, and you've got to crawl across this jetty. So my big brother Richie, he's always bigger and stronger than me. He jumped right over. My dad jumped right over, and I come and I go, whoa, little Bobby, I'm four. And I go, oh no, I can't make it, Daddy. And my dad, I'll never forget this. Dad put his arms up and he says, come on, Bobby, I'll catch you. I'll catch you. And I said, I don't know, Dad. And he said, I'm your father. I won't let you fall. I'll catch you. And when he said, I'm your father, I jumped. I took a leap of faith, right? And he caught me. My feet didn't get wet at all. You know what? That's how Jesus is. When we're afraid, he says, come on. Come on to me. I won't let you fall. I'll hold you up. You know what that takes? It takes a believing act. A believing act. But I see one more thing. We've seen his desperate circumstance. We've seen his earnest request. We've seen the gentle rebuke Jesus gave him. We've seen the definite promise Jesus made. We saw his believing act. But finally, notice his assurance confirmed. His assurance confirmed. Go with me to chapter 4, verse 51. And as he, the nobleman, was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. And then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth. And himself believed, and his whole house. Look at the end of verse 53. And himself believed, and his whole house. They all got saved. Beloved, listen to me. His assurance is confirmed before he gets to his house. The servants come out to meet him and say, a miracle's taken place. Your son's alive. Yeah, he said, I know. I know. Jesus already told me that. There's no news to me. Beloved, hear me please in closing. It is not such faith as this, always confirmed by the assurance of God's providence. Always. Joshua told the children of Israel at the end of his life that not one promise had failed of all that the Lord had promised by the hand of Moses. Not one promise had failed. Wow. God always keeps his promises. Listen, all those who go in faith and at his bidding, as this certain nobleman did, will surely find that he is faithful who hath promised. And the assurance of salvation will certainly follow the act of faith. Now let me ask you a question. Who do you suppose sent the nobleman's servants out to meet him with the good news? Jesus did. Why? Because Jesus wanted to assure him that it was well with his house. Amen? Listen carefully. In Colossians chapter 2, don't turn there. Verse 2, it says, of Jesus Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures, both of wisdom and knowledge, that ye might come to the full assurance of faith. I love that verse. I don't know about you, but I want the full assurance of my faith. I know that I'm saved. Because Jesus said so. And Jesus doesn't lie. Oh, beloved, Hoover Root, I have an insurance policy written in the blood of the Lamb, sealed by the cross of Jesus, redeemable wherever I am. The company will never go bankrupt. It is bonded by God's promise true. It will keep every word of its contract exactly what it says it will do. I don't have to die to collect it. No premiums do I have to pay. All I do is to keep God's promise and walk in his holy way. No collector will ever come calling. It was paid on Calvary's tree. It ensures me for living and dying and for all eternity. Why? Because it's written in his blood. Amen. It's a contract written in blood. Even the blood of the Lamb. Let me give you this and I'll be done this morning, beloved. In closing, Charles Fuller reports that recently in Buffalo, New York, not far from where I attended Bible college back in the 80s, a thief broke into a church and got away with some valuable equipment and some cash from the collection box from the church. He robbed the church. The very next day, the church's outside bulletin board carried these words, and I quote, if the person who burglarized this church last night will please contact the pastor, he will receive some very important news, period. Interested, the local media called the pastor. They said, what's the important news, pastor? What is it? The pastor replied, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen, that pastor understood that thief needed healing. spiritual healing that Jesus Christ alone could give. Just like that certain nobleman's son needed healing, so did that thief. And there was only one that could help that thief, Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning. How we thank you this morning, Lord, for this certain nobleman. How we thank you that he came to the right place, the Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for his earnest request. He begged you to heal his son. Lord, we thank you for the definite promise you gave him, thy son liveth. Lord, we thank you for the assurance, the confirmation of assurance you gave him along the way. And Lord, we thank you for his believing act. We thank you that him and his whole household were saved, all because of the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ. We love you this morning and we thank you for our gathering, O God. We pray that you would bless us as we sing a hymn of invitation. And Father, one last thing. There may be one here this morning that has facing a difficult situation. By an uplifted hand, you say, Pastor, pray for me. I see that hand. I see that hand and I see that hand. I see that hand and I see that hand. Hands up, all over, put them down. Father, thank you for these uplifted hands. Lord Jesus, you are the source. You are the one, the only one that can take care of these problems from these lifted hands this morning. Lord, you see their hearts. You know their need. And right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, Father, you would supply that need, whatever it might be, by your Holy Spirit in the lives of your children. Thank you for uplifted, honest hearts this morning. And thank you, Lord, that you're able to take care of those problems. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Let's grab our hymnals, beloved. We will close with an hymn of invitation. And the altar is open if you need it. Let's open up to 84. Hymn 84, another, we'll stand. Another one of our all-time favorites. My Jesus, I love thee. And we love him because he first loved us. That's right. Oh, boy. Thank you, Lord. We're going to sing the first and the second in closing. William Featherstone. Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. what a blessing. Well, praise the Lord, folks. So thankful that you're here with us, worshiping the Lord Jesus with us this morning, and we hope to see you again. And what an honor to have our dear retired pastor with us this morning. Amen? Amen. So thankful. I bet a lot of years you're pastoring, brother. Oh, praise the Lord. Would you take the honor of dismissing us in prayer? And don't forget, tonight at 6 o'clock, if you can join us tonight at 6, we'll be in our seventh mystery of the New Testament. Go ahead, Pastor.
Father, we just want to thank you for this beautiful service this morning, especially, Lord, for your healing power by the word that was brought forth this day, Lord. We ask your presence upon everyone this morning, Lord, as they heard this word. Let us not just hear it, Lord, but let us do it of the word this day. And we give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.